Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Donegal County Council is hoping to boost its social housing provision with a new turnkey acquisition process which has been launched this afternoon. The state says it can no longer provide accommodation to all asylum seekers. The Department of Integration says it's down to a severe shortage. The Taoiseach says it's a very challenging situation. With temperatures set to fall below zero again tonight and widespread ice and frost forecast, Donegal County Council has confirmed all its routes on its winter maintenance programme is being gritted, but some routes in East Inishowen may not be because a gritting lorry has broken down. Later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with sports news. That's coming up at around about 5:15. But we begin with Donegal County Council hoping to boost its social housing provision with the launch of a new turnkey acquisition process this afternoon. The council is seeking proposals from developers to develop units across all areas of the county in the coming years. With more detail, here's Michaela Clark.
The council says it is a key objective of theirs to provide high quality and sustainable social housing in areas of need throughout the county. As part of efforts to do so, they have today launched a new turnkey acquisition process. The local authority is seeking developers to make submissions for 1, 2, 3 and 4 bedroom housing units. Proposals must contain a minimum of 5 units and can include completed units, including potential regeneration projects, units under construction and units to be constructed on suitable sites. It's a county-wide process and proposals can be made for any town or village throughout the county on land suitable for housing purposes. Developers will be required to engage with an architect-led design team and a construction contractor. Submissions must be made by 4:30pm on Wednesday, September the 30th, 2026. More information can be found on eTenders.
The state says it can no longer provide accommodation to all asylum seekers. The Department of Integration says it's because of a severe shortage. With more detail, here's Eamon Torsney.
A spokesperson for the Department of Integration says Ireland's currently accommodating more than 100,000 people fleeing war in Ukraine and those seeking international protection. Despite intense efforts to source emergency accommodation, the department is currently not in a position to provide accommodation to all those seeking asylum. In a statement, the spokesperson says various issues beyond the control of the department have resulted in offers of accommodation and contracts not being progressed. Drop-in day services will be available to those without accommodation, where IP applicants will have access to hot showers, meals and laundry services. Tents and sleeping bags will be provided where required. Two charities will provide these services in Dublin in the event they are needed. Officials are working to bring more bed spaces into use.
And the department has confirmed that women and children are being prioritised when it comes to providing accommodation. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says the situation at the moment is very challenging.
We have about 100,000 Ukrainians and about 26,000 asylum seekers. I think it's a reflection of significant instability across the world, where pressure is growing and continues to grow because of war and conflict. So domestically here then, we have to do everything we possibly can to provide accommodation under our international legal obligations. And we will continue to do that. And government will be meeting this week again to assess the situation.
Temperatures are set to fall below zero again tonight with widespread ice and frost forecast. Donegal County Council has confirmed that all routes on its winter maintenance programme will be gritted tonight. However, a gritting lorry has broken down on Route 5 in East Inishowen. That means part of that route may go ungritted. It covers the area between Quigley's Point, Carndonagh and Moville. Motorists are being urged to exercise extreme caution and remember that no road is ever guaranteed to be ice-free. But please do be extra cautious if you're in East Inishowen. Those roads between Quigley's Point, Carndonagh and Moville may not be gritted to the usual extent tonight. A community representative on the Donegal Joint Policing Committee says more Gartha checkpoints are needed in rural areas. Donegal's Chief Superintendent Aidan Blacken told a recent JPC meeting that social media and motorists flashing lights have rendered a checkpoint effective for just 20 minutes. However, Donegal Public Participation Network representative Joe Boland says rather than go back to base, the mobile units should go elsewhere in the county, creating a more visible Gartha presence in rural areas. He's also urged all politicians to lobby to have more Garthi deployed to the county. Over 1,600 traffic checkpoints have been set up in Donegal so far this year, compared to just over 2,000 during the same period last year. Joe Boland says the bottom line is a more visible Gartha presence right across Donegal is necessary.
One of the things that Minnie said about the flashlights, most people that do use the flashlights is for the Go Safe fans, very rarely for a guard at a checkpoint. The second thing he's saying about the efficiency between 15 and 20 minutes, I can understand that, but the problem then is, and apparently, when they finish the 15 minutes, they go back to base or go somewhere else. They don't have checkpoints anywhere else. So our argument was that surely if it is only 15 minutes at one area, they can go somewhere else for another 15 minutes and then somewhere else for another 15. To us, that would be twofold. It would help people. One, it might reduce the traffic, incidents of traffic, bad behaviour. Secondly, it would also deter potential criminals or burglars from going to an area, because the guardie are floating around and they don't know where they're going to be at that. If you break it down to per day, it's just over 4 checkpoints in the county of Donegal per day. And if you take out of that the checkpoints, which are, I mean, obviously we all see it, Manor Cunningham, Burt, and maybe Ballyshannon, that's 3 out of that 4 every day. So it means that the whole of the county is never covered. I mean, I live in a rural area myself, and I haven't seen a guardie car driving in my area since an incident 3 years ago. And I'm just 2 mile off the main thoroughfares, you know. So they're not going out to the rural areas. Yes, there is a few checkpoints. I mean, I think 1,635, he said, were drug and alcohol-related checkpoints, and there's another 1,049, I think it was, for ordinary checkpoints for tax insurance and whatever else behaviour. But they're not been held in the county way. They're held in the big towns like Letterkenny, Bunkerana, Ballyshannon, possibly somewhere else, you know, but the rest of the county has not been covered at all.
And that was Joe Boland speaking to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show. You can listen back to the whole of that conversation on our website, highlandradio.com. You can, of course, listen back to the whole of the 9 till noon show. It's podcast on the website on the same page. It's also available to be viewed via our Facebook pages and also on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. And you can watch the programme unfold with all the Zoom conversations as well. A Donegal TD, meanwhile, at the same meeting of the Joint Policing Committee, expressed concern that a shortage of Garda numbers means there are not enough resources in place to properly investigate alleged fraud and other serious crimes. The meeting was told there are currently 432 Gardaí of all ranks in Donegal. That's 46 more than in 2017, and with double the support staff. However, Deputy Piers Doherty told the meeting that over a longer period, numbers are down, and that needs to be addressed. He expressed particular concern that fraud is not getting the attention it deserves, either locally or nationally. And he told the meeting that only an increase in Garda resources and an increase in Garda numbers will allow for it to be fully investigated.
Back in 2009, we had more Gardaí in the county than we have today, despite significant population rises. And we can see of the over 250 Gardaí that were deployed in different stations this year so far, only 3 of them have come to Donegal. There's another 150 to be deployed statewide in the next 2 weeks, and the Chief Super has no notification whether any of them are coming to Donegal. And what I'm making the point very clearly is Donegal has been badly served in terms of the number of Gardaí. We have issues of rural crime just like anywhere else.
You've also made the point that there are a number of crimes like fraud which perhaps are not being reported because people don't have confidence that those crimes are being investigated, and your fear is that a shortage of Gardaí means that there is a perception out there that some crimes are almost going uninvestigated.
Look, fraud is the big issue where the crime is exploding. We used to report on things like bank robberies. It doesn't happen anymore because there's no cash in the banks. The way that people are now actually robbing people is through digital, through robbing online, through different type of scams. There are people in this county that have lost thousands of euros through scams, and there's people in this county who are facilitating those scams. What we heard today was there was only 3 working in the fraud division, and they're dealing with hundreds of cases. And again, it goes back to the issue of personnel, but it goes deeper than that. There, we still don't have a fraud strategy which would involve all of the state agencies. We still don't have a fraud database. The banks and the Gardaí are not allowed to share information, so there's things that have to happen at national level, but we also need the personnel here at local level.
And that was Deputy Piers Doherty speaking at that meeting of the Joint Policing Committee that happened in Lifford. Passengers flying to and from Ireland West Airport in Knock can now benefit from more relaxed restrictions. A new cabin baggage screening system is up and running at the airport. It means passengers will no longer have to remove liquid and electrical products from their luggage at security desks, while the ban on liquids of more than 100 millilitres no longer applies. The project forms part of an overall €6 million investment in upgrading facilities at the airport this year. A Donegal councillor is calling for a review of the management of Letterkenny University Hospital's car park. It comes after €1,000 worth of damage was caused to a hospital worker's vehicle in the car park. Euro Car Parks currently operate the facility with a percentage of the parking charges collected given to the hospital. However, when he raised the matter with Euro Car Parks, the hospital worker was instead directed to hospital security. Councillor Michael McLaverty, Cathaoirleach of the Glenlees Municipal District, says the operation of the hospital car park would generate a substantial financial boost for the hospital.
As Carol touched on herself there when she went to the Eurocar Parks about it, they pushed her back or passed her back then to hospital security. Well, if it is then that they feel it's hospital security's problem to see about it, that may be one thing, right? But on the other side of it, I would see it as them. If that's the way going forward, Eurocar Parks' attitude is, whenever that contract is up or to be renewed, that money that's been collected in that car park there should be going back to Letterkenny Hospital. Letterkenny Hospital should be managing that car park themselves anyway from the word go, as all hospitals should have been. Because we have all these situations at the minute, hospitals struggling one thing and another, and that's a real game changer there. The amount of money would be collected there over the year would be something very substantial, no doubt. You would take it as a given. If your responsibility is seen about the cars, ticketing and so on, well, you'd imagine then your responsibility would be then, accordingly, the security of the cars as well, Greg, to be fair. Because, once again, we're back in the soil situation again here in Ireland, passing the buck. I don't think it's acceptable this time passing the buck to hospital security as such, to be fair. And as I say, going back to it again, this whole situation needs to be reviewed. I feel the money that has been collected should go back into the running / security of Letterkenny General Hospital, because obviously that money's be got from somewhere else anyway. So what more beneficial could it be than producing your own money, such as outside your door, and putting it back into your own services?
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, with great gift ideas for everyone on your list this Christmas, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past five. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with Gaelic Games. There is a band of supporters in the county that were holding on to hope that Michael Murphy one day would return after announcing his retirement at the end of last year. It seems that hope has been put to bed with the 2012 All-Ireland winning captain saying he will not be reversing his decision. Jim McGuinness may be back at the helm managing Donegal, and some believed Murphy would come back, but the Glen Swilly man says that was never an option for him. Michael has been speaking with Off the Ball's Tommy Rooney at the launch today of GAA's Goals coverage for next year.
But yeah, listen, it was never the case. Everything probably from the outside looks like a 1 and 1 equals 2, really, that kind of thing. But for me, you know, whether it was Paddy Carr and Aidan O'Rourke last year, whether it was Jim McGuinness this year, I couldn't get to where I wanted to get to, that I felt I needed to get to represent Donegal. And even with Jim coming in, that was still the same answer from me, you know. As hard as that is to give, it was hard to give last year to Paddy Carr. That is still where it's at the moment for me, you know. I know players can do it where they can come back in January time or change up their programme a wee bit to do it in a different way, and hopefully that'll all equal to what it is in the Championship. I'm kind of all duck or no dinner, really, and just things don't line up for me, you know, to do that. And as I say, I'll let things move on, and it's put to bed now, and Donegal will move on, and I'll move on and try and help out with Donegal at some other way, you know.
That's Michael Murphy, who says he won't be coming back to play for Donegal, but he will be involved in some aspect of GA with the county going forward, more than likely involved with the underage setups with Donegal. There'll be more from Michael tonight on the DEL debate. That interview will be aired in full. Brendan Devaney, of course, hosting the last DEL debate of the year this evening. He'll also be looking back at the history makers, Setanta, and their intermediate Ulster hurling title victory on Saturday. There'll be feedback from the Setanta Club, plus views of current Donegal hurling boss Mickey McCann. An Irish news reporter, Niall Loughran, previews the Ulster Club Championship final between Scotstown and Glenmahara. It's going to be a busy one, the DL debate tonight after the 7 o'clock news. Meanwhile, the GAA's president, Larry McCarthy, says he's confident that supporters will be satisfied with the product offered by the streaming service GAA Go in the coming season. Was announced today that 38 inter-county matches will be streamed exclusively by the service in 2024, including three of Cork's four games in the Munster Hurling Championship. Moving on to soccer, Drogheda United have signed former Ireland underage international defender Jack Kinney. The 24-year-old Donegal man had been UCD's captain for the last four seasons. Jack's journey began at Sligo Rovers when he emerged from the youth setup into the first team during the 2017 campaign. Kinney is Kevin Doherty's first addition for the 2024 season. Sam Allardyce has declared his interest in becoming the next Republic of Ireland manager. The former England and Bolton boss has been out of work since a four-game spell with Leeds last season, which saw them relegated from the Premier League. Allardyce says he'd like to speak to the FEA about potentially succeeding Stephen Kenny and that he would introduce a style of football to suit the players if appointed. Well, Sheffield United are expected to sack Paul Heckenbottom later today, making him the first Premier League manager to lose the job this season. Former boss Chris Wilder is the front runner to replace him. Heckenbottom would leave the club bottom of the table following a 5-0 thrashing at Burnley last Saturday. Jim Ratcliffe's purchase of a 25% stake in Manchester United is likely to be announced early next week. It's understood the confirmation is imminent that the Enos founder will invest an initial £1.25 billion. His company is set to take control of football operations led by former British cycling performance director Dave Brailsford, who heads up the sporting wing of the business. On the tug-of-war front, the national championships were held in Athlone over the weekend and it turned out to be a good Sunday for Inishowen pullers. In the men's category, the winners were Cockhill, with Clonmany finishing runners-up. And likewise, the ladies' national competition was also dominated by Donegal pullers, with Clonmany finishing as winners. That was Clonmany A. And the Clonmany B team finished as runner-ups. Donegal athletes were in action yesterday at the National Novice and Uneven Age Cross Country Championships in Navan, and the impressive season for Caelan McFadden of Cranford AC continued as he took yet another title, this time taking gold in the boys' under 17 race. Finn Valley also saw success in the team events, with the under 15 girls winning silver and the 17 boys taking bronze. Finally, in boxing, Shifra Lawless has won Ireland's second gold medal at the World Junior Boxing Championships. The Wicklow teenager is the light welterweight champion after defeating her Indian opponent in the final in Armenia. Yesterday, Mullingar's John Donoghue was crowned the boys' light welterweight champion. And that's your sport for the moment. Don't forget, the last of the DL debates for the year is later after the 7 News. Donal.
Thank you, Oisin. 50 new jobs are on the way for Strabane. Planning approval has been granted today to local engineering company FabPlus to develop an industrial unit at Strabane Business Park. The business park had been lying vacant for some time, with plans also in place for Omega Crushing and Screening Limited and Letterkenny-based manufacturer Houston Precision Engineering to develop facilities in the area. West Rowan MLA Melissa McHugh says continued investment is vital for Strabane.
Our main objective in the Strabane area is to hopefully encourage investment that creates job opportunity for the local people and that. And congratulations to the McGavigan family in particular with FabPlus, because they have fulfilled that role so successfully for a long number of years now.
A family home has been destroyed by a fire in Letterkenny. Emergency services worked to bring the blaze under control last evening in the Long Lane area. No one was injured. Councillor Jerry McMonagall says the fire took hold very quickly.
At any time for a family home to catch fires, bad enough, but not in the mouth of Christmas. Particularly upsetting, I'm sure, for the family. I know the gentleman and lady that live there, and they take great pride in their house, and I just see it standing there watching it go up in flames. Last night was heartbreaking for them, and my thoughts and heart goes out to them.
The president of COP28 has been criticised for saying there is no science to show that phasing out fossil fuels would help stop global warming. Sultan Ahmed Al Jaber, who's also CEO of the Abu Dhabi National Oil Company, claims it would be unsustainable for socio-economic development to phase out fossil fuels. Al Jaber also said achieving the 2015 Paris Agreement target to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees would not be possible without taking the world back into caves. Meanwhile, as the COP28 talks continue, the chief executive of Friends of the Earth, Oisin Coughlan, says Ireland's pollution levels remain very high.
But the actual broader point I want to make is that just tripling renewables or doubling in efficiency on its own isn't enough. We have to make sure we actually reduce fossil fuels, because what we're seeing at the moment is solar and wind are taking off. They're very cheap and reliable and between them and efficient now. But we're not actually reducing the pollution side. So you have to do both.
Meanwhile, Green Party leader and Environment Minister Eamon Ryle will not now return from COP28 for tomorrow's confidence vote in the Justice Minister. He was offered a peering agreement by the Social Democrats. It was Jennifer Whitmore, the Social Democrats' climate spokesperson, who offered the pairing to the minister. She's been explaining why she did so.
We're in the middle of a climate crisis, and it's really important that Ireland is represented at COP discussions in Dubai. We've heard an awful lot of anti-scientific, anti-climate rhetoric coming out of COP, and because of that, I think it's really important that Ireland is represented by the minister at the COP negotiations.
Finally, 83% of people using guide dogs in Ireland have been refused entry to a service or amenity. An Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind survey has tracked data over the past year to identify where discrimination happens. With more, here's Sheila Nocton.
Access incidents have happened on transport in shopping centres, restaurants, public amenities and medical centres over the last year. This is despite the fact that under both the Irish Equality Legislation and the UN Convention on Persons with Disabilities, guide dog owners have the right to access businesses and services without discrimination. Lane Kennedy, Advocacy and Policy Officer with the IGDB, says businesses need to be informed.
Really, for businesses and people to understand that the dogs are an expert mobility and safety aid. They are there to help the person with a disability. They're not there as a pet or a companion dog. And businesses need to understand that they are not breaking any rules by having the dog on their premises with the person.
Sarah McGowan from Waterford is visually impaired and says it's normal now to face an issue nearly every time she's out.
It might be just a passing remark of, oh, is that a guide dog? If I say yes, that's fine. And I don't mind people just double checking that that is a guide dog. Quite often staff members would come up to me and tell me that myself and my guide dog aren't allowed.
Business owners and companies are being urged to educate all ground staff on the laws and rights of those with guide dogs accessing their services.
Weather forecast dry in most places this evening and tonight with clear spells and just a few isolated showers, some of them wintry, particularly on higher ground. Cold with lowest overnight temperatures -3 to +1 degrees Celsius. Fairly widespread frost and ice. Winds light to moderate northerly. A frosty, icy start tomorrow morning for many. That'll gradually clear, leaving a mainly dry, bright day with spells of sunshine. Highest temperatures 3 to 6 degrees Celsius in mostly light breezes. And don't forget, in East Inishowen, route number 5 around the area served from Quigley's Point up toward Carndonagh and across to Moville and Greencastle. A gritter has broken down in that area, so some parts of that route may not be gritted or will be gritted less than it would be normally. So please do bear that in mind if you're in the area. Main stories this evening. Donegal County Council is hoping to boost its social housing provision with a new turnkey acquisition process launched this afternoon. The council is seeking proposals from developers to deliver units across all areas of the county over the coming years. The state, meanwhile, says it can no longer guarantee accommodation to all asylum seekers. The Department of Integration says it's down to a severe shortage. The Taoiseach says it is a very challenging situation. And a community representative on the Donegal Joint Policing Committee says more Garda checkpoints are needed in rural areas. Chief Superintendent Aidan Lacken told a recent JPC meeting that social media and motorists flashing their lights render checkpoints effective for only about 20 minutes. Well, Joe Boland, a PPN representative on the committee, says rather than go back to base, the mobile unit should go elsewhere in the county, creating a more visible Garda presence. We're back with news headlines again at 6. Don't forget, by the way, you can review all today's news on our website, highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, have a very good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 4th of December. The death has occurred of Sally Gallagher, Main Street, Mount Charles. Her remains will repose at Gallagher's funeral home, Station Road, Mount Charles, tomorrow from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Removal from there on Wednesday morning to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Mount Charles, for 11 o'clock funeral mass, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Patsy Brennan, 12, Bracken Lee, Balladurg, Letterkenny, reposing at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, this evening from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Wake and funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The death took place in October of Ida McDevitt, 29, Haywards Road, Haywards Heath, West Sussex, and previously of Letchamore, Drumkeen. A service for Ida will take place in St Patrick's Church, Drumkeen, on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. The death has taken place of Mary Maureen Sweeney, née Freel, Laddon, Kindrum, and Kettering, Northamptonshire, England. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, at 6 o'clock this evening, going to St Mary's Church, Fanavolty, Fanad, for prayers at 7 o'clock. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral can be viewed live on Scott Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of Derry Flynn, Ballyheeran, Fanad. Remains reposing at her home, which is private, please. Removal to the Church of Christ the Redeemer, Ross in the Kill, arriving at 7 o'clock tonight to repose overnight. Funeral service tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, with private cremation on Wednesday in Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Patrick Sweeney, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Sean Neil Ferry, Nukfulla, Gwydor. Remains reposing at his late residence. Rosary tonight at 8 o'clock. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning in Chocpubble, Columkill, Nukfulla at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has occurred of Paul McGuigan, Caro Namadi, Bert. Paul's remains are reposing at his home, with wake today to 8 p.m. House strictly private, please, at all other times. Removal tomorrow morning at 10:30 to Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, for 2 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Foyle Hospice, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Willie Call, Hillhead, St Johnson. Willie's remains are reposing at his late residence until 10 o'clock this evening, with rosary at 9 o'clock. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:20, going to St Bathan's Church, St Johnson, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Society of St Vincent de Paul and Medical Ward Patients Comfort Fund, care of Kelly's Funeral Directors. And the death has occurred of Kevin J. Medlin, 9 Mean Dararia Park, Woodlands, Letterkenny, formerly of Falcarra. Reposing at his late residence until 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there tomorrow morning to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, followed by burial in Leck Cemetery. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. The funeral mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.